A very good morning to Rolene Marks, our Israel correspondent. How are you this morning?
Good morning, and especially thrilled to get a greeting for Happy Women's Day. Not that we celebrate it in August here, we celebrate it, or commemorate it rather, in March, but a very, very important day, no matter where in the world or what time of the year you commemorate it.
And of course, this in South Africa, we do commemorate it on the 9th of August, because that was the day the 20,000 women in the 1956 marched to the union buildings to protest the pass laws. So that is why it is commemorated on this day. So just a little bit of information. Let's talk about a couple of issues that we wanted to get an update on. One of them are these terrible fires that are raging through various parts of Europe, specifically in Greece. Israel apparently sending firefighting teams there.
A horrendous, horrendous wildfires in Turkey and in Greece. We have sent, or offered rather, aid to Turkey. We haven't had a response. They seem to think they've got theirs all under control, and we really hope that that is the case. But Greece, a lot of wildfires just outside the city of Athens, and Israel dispatching 15 firefighters to assist our great ally Greece in fighting this. We understand all too well what it's like to battle these kind of fires. We've experienced them ourselves, even here earlier this week, just between Modi'in and Jerusalem at the Shoresh interchange. We had massive fires, some fires being reported yesterday. Of course, we understand arson terror and the effects that those arson balloons have on our cities, our towns in the south, our agricultural areas of the south. So we're dispatching 15 firefighters to help Greece. Greece has assisted us in our time of need, and now we return the favor.
Yeah, just incredible. Israel always being one of the first to just get out there and try and assist wherever they can.
Well, this is it, and including the countries that we have no formal diplomatic ties with. You know, we have a very, very noble, very, very moral 70-year history in humanitarian aid. We've seen it just in the last couple of weeks, very, very sadly, in Surfside, in Miami, Florida, in Cyprus. We've seen it in parts of the world where you would never expect Israel to be dispatched to, but we're seeing it now in Greece as well.
Let's talk about what's going on in Iran, and we know that there's been lots of movement, but specifically I want to start with the fact that they have a new president. He's a bit of a hardliner. He's vowing to resist pressure. Give us a bit of context. Who is this bloke?
This is Ibrahim Raisi. He is seen as much more extreme, I mean, if that is even possible, Howard, to Ahmadinejad and Rouhani. He has, of course, as one has to have as the president of Iran, the backing of the Ayatollahs. He is somebody that they used to call the executioner. In fact, there is an investigation into him by the United Nations Human Rights Council as to what kind of role he has played in the execution of Iranian civilians, including young members of the LGBTQ community, as young as 13, it has been reported. He is a hardliner. A very interesting speech during his inauguration yesterday, which of course, Howard, had members of Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad in attendance in the front row. He said that he is going to dedicate himself to the service of the people, the honor of the country, the propagation of religion and morality, and the support of truth and justice. I mean, seriously.
Who wrote that?
You can't make that up.
No, that is too funny. Shame, man.
You can't make that up. And he also went on to say that he will follow diplomatic efforts, but will resist international pressure. I don't know if he was trying for a serious kumbaya, let's braid each other, his hair moment, but, the jig is up, we're on to him. We see the actions of Iran over the last couple of weeks definitely escalating, especially between Israel and Iran. Now we have reports that the United Kingdom will be approaching the UN Security Council today and raising the issue of the attack on the Mercer Street, the Israeli-owned merchant ship off the coast of Oman, which killed a Romanian national and a British national, which we have subsequently found out is a former member of the British Army. But also yesterday, Raisi, in his inauguration speech, saying, "I extend a hand of friendship to all countries in the region." just a reminder, we're also in the region.
Yeah, hello.
Just saying.
We're here. Yeah, hello. Yeah, notice us. Amazing. It's just incredible, because at the same time there was that, you know, when we talk about the fact that one of them, well, somebody said earlier in the week that we haven't always told the Iranian people the full truth. We haven't lied. We have lied. It was just bizarre. Absolutely bizarre, where they basically admitted to lying when they speak.
Well, you know, as I say, some people speak out of both sides of the mouth, and I think that the Iranian regime is absolute evidence of that. And no wonder there are so many protests taking place across the country. Drought, which has resulted in water shortages, which has resulted in massive protests across Iran. People saying, you know, you're not doing anything to take care of the people of this country, and down with the regime, which is quite extraordinary.
There was also comment this week from Israel that they are very concerned about Iran's nuclear program, that it really is getting close to hitting another milestone.
Absolutely. Well, in a meeting between our defense minister, Benny Gantz, our foreign minister, Yair Lapid, and foreign ambassadors representing the UN Security Council, they gave a briefing on the intelligence that they had found as a result of the attack on the Mercer Street. And Benny Gantz saying, we are just literally 10 or so weeks away from Iran acquiring enough nuclear material to have a nuclear weapon. And he also went on to name the members of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, he believes, or has the intelligence, that are responsible for the attack on the Mercer Street. You know, Israel is very, very cautious. We saw it just 2 months ago with Mevtza Shomer Chomot, Operation Guardians of the Wall, that when it comes to, you know, putting our money where our mouth is, we have to have the intelligence to back it up. You can't level a media building in Gaza without providing the CEOs of those media agencies, as well as the American administration and the Europeans, with the intelligence that proves that. And in this case as well, we can't just accuse Iran, even though all signs point in that direction, to attacks on our ships, on our vessels, on the high seas, without showing unequivocal proof that it is the Iranians. And as a result, we've had the Americans, the British, joined by Romania and Liberia, strangely enough, in appealing to the UN Security Council, not just for condemnation of the country, but for sanction as well.
Let's talk about the COVID situation in Israel. For those of us watching it from outside the country, it's very concerning. On the other hand, it's quite interesting, because I spoke with Professor Mahdi on my show yesterday, and I asked him whether the fact that people have all been vaccinated, this still requires this level of stringency, especially in a place like Israel, where it's, you know, unlike South Africa, where we don't have enough people vaccinated yet. We're certainly making progress, but we're not there yet. And I wondered, given that, if they shouldn't not have restrictions, and if people get this new variant and people aren't getting particularly ill, doesn't it just simply help? And what he said was, well, there's two models running concurrently. One is the Israel model, where they are moving towards stricter lockdown, whereas the UK, even though something similar is happening, they aren't restricting. And it'll be interesting to see which is the one that's going to be more successful given the circumstances. Is there resistance in Israel, given the fact that people have been vaccinated, given the fact that you've had the hard lockdowns, people have sacrificed the Chagim, not being with families? Is there resistance to new measures about COVID?
There's going to be, we're watching very cautiously what's going to be happening in the next couple of weeks as we approach Rosh Hashanah. But I think we're also fatigued with all of these restrictions. Nobody wants to go into another situation where we have lockdowns over the Chagim. We will be going towards compulsory green passes from Sunday, where you have to have or present your green pass in order to get into a restaurant or a gym or into an event. I think the concern is we don't want to get to the stage where we overwhelm our health system. And yes, we do have a high amount of infections, and thank goodness, even though we do see an increase in the amount of serious cases, they're not overwhelming our health system yet. And we still have about 1 million Israelis who are not vaccinated. A lot of Israelis very, very frustrated with this sector of society because, again, it means that we have restrictions. I know and I've seen with great interest that there's a lot of frustration from South Africans who aren't allowed to travel to Israel. South Africa is a red country at the moment. Just bear in mind that South Africa is not the only country where people are banned from coming into Israel, just as we are banned from going to South Africa, because we want the end of this virus. We still have to be cognizant that there are still people who haven't been vaccinated. We have to be cognizant that you can still contract the virus, albeit not as voraciously, even if you have been vaccinated. We're taking very much a safety and precautions for our citizens first above all else. Yesterday Howard, and I'm not making this up, we had Prime Minister Bennett on TikTok and Facebook doing all sorts of things with young influencers to encourage as many of the young people as possible who are eligible for the vaccine to please get vaccinated. We want an end to the virus, an end to these restrictions.
It's incredible, actually. How are they doing? How are the two of them doing in this position?
We're talking about the PM.
Yes, yes, and I'm not referring to TikTok either. I'm saying, how is Bennett doing in terms of his position as Prime Minister?
Well, he's got very interesting ratings. Some say, the approval ratings for the handling of COVID may be not as high as Netanyahu. But then again, which country has handled the COVID-19 pandemic absolutely perfectly? There was criticism for former Prime Minister Netanyahu as well. But where we are getting very, very good responses to him being the Prime Minister is the way that Israel's taking a firm stance against any attacks on our citizenship, be it from elements in the north or the south or Iran, but also the opening up of the diplomatic frontier to Israel. There seems to be less resistance from many countries, except some known names mentioned, South Africa, to speaking to Israel, to strengthening diplomatic ties. We've seen the Prime Minister invited to several countries already. Our new President Herzog, a significant new frontier opened with Turkey. Very, very important. And of course, diplomatic appointments now being made overseas, which many people might think, why is this so significant? Because these were stalled for 6 months. Yesterday we heard that the older brother of our President, Michael Herzog is likely to be our next ambassador to the United States. He has impeccable credentials. We have an ambassador finally for France, Yael German, former health minister. So things really are improving on that front. And Israelis feeling a sense of stability and almost, Howard, I mean, we're a Jewish country, of course, dare I say optimism.